And I'll just read again our verse for this evening, verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We will devote our entire time to this verse this evening, for it is of vital importance in understanding this prayer and also the book of Philippians. So the title for the sermon this evening is Gospel Partnerships. So let's open in a word of prayer and we'll commit this time to the Lord. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for another wonderful day you've given to us. We thank you for the privilege that we can come and worship you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you that it is relevant. And Father, I do pray that you speak to us tonight through your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. If you have ever been involved in a team environment, whether that be in the workforce or a sporting team or any other organisation, you will understand the vital importance of teamwork. The teamwork is imperative in being effective and successful. It is a must for productivity and achieving the set goals. Within a team environment, everyone has a part to play. And to have success, everyone needs to fulfill their role in the particular partnership. If one member fails, the chance of success diminishes. In every group activity, teamwork and partnership is the key in order to experience success, in order to be effective and to achieve results. Now, this idea of partnership is not limited to sports or the business sector, but it is also of vital importance in the spread of the gospel. And it is this that the apostle begins his praise and thanksgiving with in this text. He expresses this in the use of the term fellowship. And fellowship is the immediate cause of his praise and thanksgiving. It is key that we understand this fellowship, for it forms the foundation of this prayer. Now, it is this fellowship that will form the focus of the sermon this evening. We're going to consider this under two headings, they being interpreting the text and implementing the text. And under both of these headings, I wish to pose and answer some questions to help you and I understand and apply this concept of fellowship. So firstly, let's interpret the text. And this I wish to do by posing three questions. They being, what is the fellowship? What was the foundation of the fellowship? And how frequent was the fellowship? So the first question, what is the fellowship? The fellowship spoken of in this verse is a specific reason for the joy and thanksgiving from the apostle. It forms the foundation of this personal prayer. The English word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, a word that we are most probably familiar with, as there is a campsite around here named after it. But although this is translated fellowship, our current definition of fellowship is not exactly what this word is conveying in this text. Now, fellowship in our common vernacular has the meaning of a friendly association or of mateship. Now, we would use this word in the sense, today I had wonderful fellowship at church. By this, we simply mean a nice conversation, normally on a topic of common interest. Or we will say we always have wonderful fellowship when we play golf, go fishing, or whatever it is you enjoy. This basically meaning friendship. But the biblical word fellowship has a much deeper meaning than merely friendship or a conversation about a common interest. Koinonia means participation or partnership. It is a joint partnership in a particular task. It has the idea of a contribution, and it's also a relational term. This term was often used in a business sense. There would be a business partnership, a business koinonia. where there would be a joint participation in achieving a particular goal or task. And this is the idea of this term. Paul is giving thanks upon the basis of the believer's partnership in the gospel. He is giving thanks unto God for them playing their part in the expansion of the good news. And this idea of them partnering is further confirmed in verse 7, where it says that they are partakers. This meaning fellow laborers. They had partnered Paul in the gospel. Now, the million-dollar question is, can we be specific as to what this fellowship or partnership included? So is this fellowship Paul giving thanks simply because they partook in the gospel, that they were indeed redeemed, that they had accepted the good news of Jesus Christ? Is it that the apostle is rejoicing in the fellowship that you and I as believers uniquely share in Christ? The Christians have this fellowship between one another that no one else can experience because we are in the light. The light cannot have this fellowship with darkness. Is this the fellowship that Paul is talking about? Or could it be that this partnership is simply the fact that the believers were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in Philippi? That they were doing their part in evangelism? And maybe it is that Paul was thankful for the prayers of the saints. He was thrilled that the believers were so earnest in their prayers for him, and that this was their way of partnering them. Now, it could well be that all of the above make up this partnering in the gospel. And although I think all of these are included in this fellowship in the wider sense, there is a more specific area that is the primary focus of this partnership. The predominant aspect of this fellowship was the generous giving of the church. And let me prove this to you. Throughout the New Testament, the word koinonia and its derivatives are used 19 times, with at least 13 of those coming from the pen of Paul. Now, this term is used 4 times in the book of Philippians, once here in chapter 1 verse 5, once in chapter 2 verse 1, once in chapter 3 verse 10, and once in chapter 4 verse 15. It is interesting that with 2 of these, it contains the same preposition with the word koinonia. In chapter 1 verse 5 and chapter 4 verse 15, the word koinonia has the preposition epi, which means upon, attached to it. And this pairing of these two terms occurs in 3 other places within Paul's writing. And it is these that we will consider, for this will help to shed much light on what this fellowship means in Philippians 1, 5. So Philippians 4, 15. Philippians 4, 15 says this. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Koinonia is translated as communicated, and it's obvious what this is referring to because it tells us in black and white. It says concerning the giving of the financial gift. So this koinonia was giving. Also Romans 15:26. Romans 15:26, which says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So koinonia in this verse is translated as contribution. So once again, we are in little doubt as to what this refers to. It refers to the giving of the poor. And this particular reference is significant because it specifically mentions those in Macedonia. And of course, this includes Philippi, which was the main city in Macedonia. The third reference is 2 Corinthians 8:4. 2 Corinthians 8:4. Which says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So once again, with the same Greek structure, it refers to the gift for the saints. And it's translated with the same English word, fellowship. And the last reference is 2 Corinthians 9:13. 2 Corinthians 9:13, which says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Distribution is the word in question within this verse. And it's obvious that this refers to the giving of money to those who needed it. And this was done liberally. So upon considering the four uses of the koinonia epicombo, all of these refer to the giving of financial gifts. So it would be good exegesis for you and I to interpret Philippians 1:5, which contains the same Greek structure, referring to the giving, referring to the generous giving of the church. And to add further to this, the word koinonia is also attached to giving in Galatians 6:6, translated communicating, Romans 12:13 as distributing, and 1 Timothy 6:18 as distribute. So it's clear from examining other portions of Scripture that the generous giving of the saints at Philippi was the primary focus of the praise and thanksgiving of the apostle. He was so thankful for the continuous generosity of the believers, despite their own struggles with poverty. This was a great source of joy, a fountain of blessing, that these believers were partnered and participated in the expansion of the gospel, primarily through their generous giving, but not limited to it. So having determined what the fellowship was, we now need to determine what it was that they partnered in. And this leads us to the second question in the interpreting. What was the foundation of the fellowship? It is very clear and obvious that they partnered Paul in the gospel. The gospel, of course, being the good news of Jesus Christ, the message that possesses the power of God to save. It was in the gospel and the gospel alone that they partnered Paul. They didn't support him simply to meet his physical needs, to act as a charity, but they supported him and prayed for him so that the gospel message would be advanced. They partnered him so that the gospel message would be spread, near and far. It was the promotion of Jesus Christ that formed the foundation of their fellowship. Now, it wasn't for Paul that they did what they did, but it was for the cause of Christ. This was their motivating factor, as it should be in all supports. Now, we as a church and as individuals should not be interested in spiritual partnerships if they do not further the cause of Christ and are not gospel orientated. We should join forces and accomplish great things in those who are striving for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, when we pray and when we give to churches, pastors and missionaries, it's not actually their physical needs that we are so concerned about, although they are important. Now, we are concerned in meeting their needs so they can spread the gospel more effectively, so they can further the kingdom of God in a greater capacity so they can devote all of their time and energy in reaching the lost. That is the point and purpose of financial support and partnering with churches and individuals. It is for the expansion of the gospel. So this formed the foundation of the fellowship. The third question within the interpreting that must be answered is, how frequent was the fellowship? How frequent was the fellowship? The partnership of the believers at Philippi with Paul was indeed commendable. The text informs us that they had been gospel teammates from the first day until now. Now, this phrase, from the first day, can be interpreted in one of two ways. So it could be a reference to when Paul first came unto the city of Philippi. If we remember the story, Paul came into Philippi. There was a lady there named Lydia. She was a seller of purple. And they had a meeting with her and a group of ladies. And this was the start of the church at Philippi. So it could be that they had supported Paul since then, up until the writing of this epistle. Or this phrase could also be a figure of speech that doesn't denote a specific point in time, but rather stresses constant loyalty. So either way you wish to interpret this phrase, you will come to the same conclusion. They were constant, continuous, and faithful in their participation in the ministry of Paul. They were frequently faithful in their fellowship with the apostle. So having interpreted this verse, I trust the fellowship of the Philippians has been made clear, that this fellowship was a partnership, primarily financial, in the expansion of the gospel. But the obvious question that we must ask is, what does this mean for me as an individual and for us as a church? And this leads us to the second heading, the implementing of the text. The implementing of the text. Now, this fellowship or partnership is not something that is distinct to the church of Philippi, but it's something for us as a church today, and it's something for us as individuals. Now, partnering others in the gospel is just as relevant today as it ever has been before. So we must implement the interpretation of the text before us. And in order to do this, I wish to pose two questions that I trust will help us to implement the text that has been expounded. So the first question is, in what ways and with whom should we fellowship? So from the interpretation before us, it is evident that one of the main ways to have a gospel partnership is by giving. But it's certainly not limited to that. Another vital part of fellowship is prayer. Now, prayer and financial or material assistance are the two main practical ways that we form gospel partnerships. It's not limited to this, but these are the two predominant means. But with whom are these partnerships to be founded? Can they be formed with just anyone? Well, the basis to forming any spiritual partnership is the gospel. Now, are the groups or individuals seeking to spread the gospel? Are they striving for the cause of Christ? Now, that should be the questions asked when we consider as to who we partner in the gospel, as a church or as individuals. Now, practically speaking, who we partner with in the local church is the pastors. Now, you as a church support financially and in prayer the pastors of the church. Now, we can form partnerships with other local churches and ministries where we offer material help and our prayers. But the predominant group that we form partnerships with is missionaries. You know, we help practically and pray for missionaries both in this country and abroad. And this concept of fellowship explains our relationship with missionaries. And this is the concept that I want us to grasp from this text. when we give money, when we offer up our prayers, whether that be for this local church, another local church, or the various missionaries throughout this world, we are actually partnering them in the work. We are getting beside them and partnering in their ministry, even if we are in a different town or country. This is the concept of fellowship. Now, we are actually contributing, actively involved in the work. We are playing our role in the expansion of the gospel. Now, as a church, we support financially and in prayer Pastor Samuel Lima in India. So as a church, we are partnering him. In a sense, we are with him side by side, striving for the cause of Christ, even though we are in Australia and he is in India. This is the concept of fellowship. So when we pray and when we give, let's remember that we are actively involved in that person's particular ministry. We are a part of that ministerial team. We form an important cog within that ministry. Even though physically we may never set foot on the mission field, you may never preach a sermon, you may never teach a lesson, but you still have a vital role to play in partnering those who do go to the mission field, to those who do preach the sermons, and those who do teach the lessons. We all have a part to play in the gospel expansion team. Never underestimate the importance of your role in that team. But why should we fellowship? Why should we give? Why should we pray? Now, this is the final question I wish to answer. Now, why is fellowship so important for us as a church and as individuals? So, number one, it's a way to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus Christ has given some very clear instructions that you and I are to go into the whole world and preach the gospel. This is not an option. This is our obligation. This is our duty. This is our task as a church and as individuals. Now, this does pose us with a slight problem. We can only be in one place at one time. Our church can only be physically in this town. How can we be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of this earth? Well, the answer to that is that we partner different men and women, that we partner different churches and missionaries. We form a partnership with different people who take the gospel to different parts of the globe, whether that be near or far. And we joining ourselves with them as a church, or as an individual, helps us to fulfill the Great Commission, which is commanded by our Saviour. Now, this is why we are to give and to pray for things like this, because this is how we spread the gospel throughout the world. Now, this is one reason why we as a church support missions, because this is how we play our parts in the Great Commission. So this is the first reason why we are to have gospel partnerships. And the second reason is that we obtain spiritual reward. We obtain spiritual reward. In Philippians chapter 4, where the apostle spends time particularly concentrating on the generous giving of the church, he reveals a principle that is very relevant to our topic. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, which says this: "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." The apostle once again uses business terms in this verse, and he informs the believers that fruit was going to abound in their account because of their partnership with Paul. The Philippians' investment in Paul's ministry was going to bring them heavenly dividends. They were laying up treasure in heaven through Paul. Now, Paul knew that they would be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for their financial supports. Now, Paul's converts were in effect their converts. Their gifts enabled Paul to evangelize to more people, meaning Paul's fruit was in effect their fruit also. And this principle is the same for us as a church and for us as individuals. When we form gospel partnerships, now when we help others in the spread of the gospel, we are laying ourselves up rewards in heaven. No, God will reward those who help others to fulfill their ministerial duties. Now, when we support another, the fruit from their ministry is in effect ours also. Now, God will reward generously and abundantly in heavenly rewards those who partner others in a work. Now, as a church and as individuals, God will bless those who are faithful partners in the ministry, whether in this land or abroad. Now, not everyone can be a pastor. Not everyone can be a missionary. Not everyone can be in full-time ministry, but everyone can be actively involved in the spread of the gospel, both here and abroad. Now, being a partner is such an important function as a church and as an individual. For if there are no partners in the gospel, it will be hindered greatly. Now, we all have a part to play in the spread of the gospel in Lismore, in New South Wales, in Australia, and abroad. And we can do this via fellowship. Now, God knows the fellowship that we are involved in as a church. Now, God knows the partnerships that you have as an individual, whether that be financial or in prayer. And it is imperative that we keep up these partnerships and participate in future partnerships so the gospel gets spread. And if we do this, God will reward greatly. Amen. Let's pray.